you know what that sound means? You are in the royal, loyal room. I've been setting you up for the kill. You are on the killing floor. There is no royalty without loyalty.
There's been so many things that held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know.
Come on, talk to me.
Every word I say, every word I say, ain't no stopping now. We're on the
move. Well, good evening, good evening. I am Khalif Zapnat Pa'ania L, and I'm here live in Greenville, Mississippi, at the Mariah Ahab, the Word Love Center here in the heart of the Delta. And boy, do we have a show for you tonight. I tell you, we have a show for you tonight. You buckle your seatbelts up. We're getting ready to leave the hemisphere, go through the atmosphere, to the ionosphere, to the trapposphere, to the chemisphere, and we're going all the way to the seventh heaven tonight. We're going to get on this in this room and go higher and higher. We have a wonderful show lined up for you. People, we've had some things that have been going on this week that are very stimulating, that are very positive, that are very great. And when I tell you what they are, you're going to say, well, how is that so great? But I want to tell you, everything comes from a single source, and everything proceeds for a particular reason. And so therefore, everything is good. I look at everything as good. This week, we have been served notice here in Greenville to cease and desist in what they call having church, and they brought officers out here with guns and told us that we couldn't have church on a historic plantation. The famous historic locust, rattlesnake, bayou, Swiftwater locust plantation, where W.P. Montgomery ran slaves and worked slaves for free, who bled, who labored, who were many times abused, ravished, as my grandmama would say, or raped, and men gave their lives to make this area rich. And now this ministry, this church, is sitting out here, and I want the world to know, on a place where people of African descent gave their lives, and they told us that we could not have spiritual meeting out here on this land and on this property. When, in fact, at the end of this street, at both ends, there are churches at both ends and less than a mile away and media religious gatherings right in the block at 112 Bayou Road, 120 rather, Bayou Road. 112 is the city council person's address, Bayou Road. But 120, there's a Bible class that's going on, but at 137, they say we cannot have any Bible line lessons or any church that gave us an order under gunpoint. Not, and I want to read something to you to let you know that I shall not be moved. Let me tell you what the Bible says. I feel like I'm in very, very good company. I don't know how you feel about it, but I feel pretty good because I'm going to read this Bible and I'm going to lay down some principles across this airwaves and let's see if they can regulate the FCC and tell me I can't broadcast from here. So, here it is. There's a lot going on here. They don't want me on this plantation. I must be doing something right, people. I must be telling some truth because the only time you run into the devil, you don't run into the devil or don't run into opposition, is that you have to be going in the same direction with it. If you are not going in the same direction with the enemy, then you will obviously run into him sometimes and have a head-on collision. But listen to this. I'm in good company. In the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, it says, and when the captain of the officers, they sent a police officer out here, code inspector, brought them without violence for fear of the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, the city council of Greenville, and the high priest, that means the president of the board of the city council, saying, didn't we explicitly make ourselves plain? Didn't we order you, command you, that you should not teach in this name and that you should stop doing this? Behold, you have filled Greenville with your doctrine. Because I went on the television and told them we were having an event from the 20th to the 21st and 22nd. And they waited yesterday until the 22nd, thinking and hoping that they would come out here. Didn't know that I already knew ahead of time that they were having this plan. So I had canceled it anyway. I told you we weren't having it. And now you know why, because they had planned to come and disrupt and crash our event by preventing us from having a meeting about telling people how to help themselves and how to get a hold and how to break off the plantation and how to be free and how to ascend. They don't want you to know, people, I'm doing some things right. I'm doing some things right because they don't want you to know. And listen, this text says, didn't we tell you? Didn't we give you an order? Didn't we put it in your hands? You put it on Facebook for everybody to see on your Facebook page. Didn't we clearly, explicitly give you, it says, stop church order, command, stop church, cease and desist, talking about what you're talking about, this Bible. And this is the Bible Belt, people. I'm right in the Bible Belt. And they said, stop talking about the Bible from over here. We're going to order God off of this plantation. We're going to order God off of this block right here, all because of a few disgruntled neighbors in the community that know how to manipulate the government officials and got them in their back pocket. We're in a corrupt and corroborated, convoluted system, people, and I'm right in the heart and in the belly of the beast, but I'm going to blow his guts out here. I'm going to blow
his guts out. Turn that up, Bishop.
I'm going to blow his guts out while I'm down. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to go to jail. I'm not afraid to go to hell. Come on, talk back to me, somebody. I'm
right. Turn that up, Bishop.
And it said, didn't we straightly tell you, and you done fill Greenville and the Delta with this troop you got intending to bring some blood up on our heads? And then we told you not to do this. But then Peter stood up with the other men that were standing with him. He said, it's better for us to obey God than it is to obey man. And I don't care what the city council or the county board of supervisors or the Congress or the United Nations do, what kind of resolution they pass, it's still better for me to obey God. You don't call me off of 40 years of doing what I've been doing and tell me I can't do that because I'm standing on a piece of ground that you say I can't talk about God on. How crazy, how ludicrous, how stupid, how ridiculous, how asinine, how devilish, how dark, how dastardly, how devious, how decadent, how decrepit can your mind be to tell me that there is a piece of land that I can't talk about God on? You've got to be out your rabbit. Oh, I almost said something. You got to be out your rabbit mind.
Turn that up, Bishop. Turn it up.
You got to be out of your rabbit mind. anywhere my feet touch the ground, I'm going to talk about God in the morning. I'm going to talk about God in the evening. I'm going to talk about God late at night. If you wake me up in the midnight hours, I'm going to talk about God. Wherever I am, I can be in hell or in jail. I'm going to talk about God. Wherever. When I went to jail in 1999, I preached my way out of jail. Yes, I went to jail in 99. Jesus went to jail. Paul went to jail. Jeremiah went to jail.
Come on, Peter
went to jail and stayed all night because the government put Peter in jail and intended to kill him. But God sent an angel and unlocked the jail doors in the 12th chapter of Acts. And they had to call him back and say, now, how did you get out? They went and reported that he got out. He's back out there running his mouth, saying the very thing that they told him not to say. Didn't we tell you not to say this? And then Peter stood up and said, didn't we tell you not to say this? He said, look, let me tell you something. We heard you. We understood your command. We read the edict. We read the order. But we want you to know that it's better for us to obey God than it is for man. It's kind of reminding me of the three Hebrew boys that said, we ain't going to bend, we ain't going to bow, we ain't going to break, and we sure won't burn. But if we do, be it known unto thee, we won't bow to you. We are not bowing to you. I want somebody to pray with me just for a minute. I need somebody praying with me on this line.
Come on.
I'm a little worked up. I need a counselor, somebody to come in, because I got to tell y'all some principles tonight. I'm going to settle down.
Come on.
I had to get that worked out. Sister Hill, you're giving me an amen corner there like we in church or something. And they told
That's
me I
right.
can't have
come
no
on.
Church. They told me I can't have no church.
Come on. Amen. Turn it up. Turn it up.
I can't have an amen corner because an amen corner is going to be some church. I can't have
That's
no
all right. That's all right.
Land. This land is designated for no church.
Come on now. Come on.
The Bible Belt in Greenville, Mississippi. Can you believe it? Where they got more churches in this town per capita than they have in any other place. They singled out one man. Y'all, look who this one man must be. Tell him he can't have church. Mm. They got churches and bus stops, truck stops, furniture stores, clothes down cleaners, every crack and crevice they can have. They're putting up churches everywhere. Am I lying, Frank? They're putting up churches everywhere down here. They're putting churches on every block. Can't go down the street. You can't go into an old liquor store. It's a church. Grocery store, Kroger's clothes, turn into a church. Funeral home, turn into a church where dead folk were. They had a cleaner. The man that came out and served me the papers, go to a church that used to be a cleaner that's next door to a house that's standing up on blocks. If the wind blow hard, house gonna fall down in the church. Come on, talk to me something. But yet they tell me I can't have church here. And they got 250 churches here, and they're opening them up more and more. But I can't have church. You're a damn lie. You're a damn lie. I can have church.
Turn it up. Turn it up.
I can have church.
Yes.
Anywhere I go.
Yes. My Lord. Come on.
Y'all think I'm mad. Let me get to what I'm talking about.
No.
Let me get my professor's voice back on. And I'm going to talk to you like a professor now. We're going to go back into the classroom. Let me open up some lines here, see if I got somebody worse up to talk to you. What Chancellor? Let me find Chancellor and Abbott. Oh, boy.
My Lord.
Let me see what Steve got to say about that. Steve got to say about that. Steve, what you got to say about my little preacher? Brother Steve. What you got to say about my little preaching, then? I'm going to get to some principles here tonight, but what you got to say about my little preaching?
Preach on, brother. Preach on.
Amen.
You all right with me, young man?
They told me I can't preach. I can't have church in this house on this land. Steve, how you feel about that? That there's a piece of land that you can't preach and teach on?
Man, I think you know how I feel. I feel about like you, probably to the 10th power.
To the 10th power. Wow.
To the 10th power.
Wow. Let me see what the bishop from Freeport. I'm going to open this guy up. I'm opening up these preachers. I'm opening up these preachers and see what they feel about it. I know I got a chancellor up there in Ohio, and I want to see what he feels. I got to find him. I saw him a while ago. I want to see what he feels about this. Let's see, where is he? Is he hiding, or did he drop? Did I preach him off the line? Where is he? I can't. Oh, there he is. No, he's not gone. So, Bishop from Shreveport, your mic is open.
I'm here. I'm here.
I want to know what you feel about a piece of land, a piece of
ground,
a place where you can't preach and you can't teach. Why do you feel about that living in America?
Here we go. When you are given an assignment, your assignment, as you have been doing so steadfast and unmovable, is empowering, making people aware of the genius, the uniqueness, the power that is within them. That by itself stands alone. That's a fight for all by itself. When people do not want others to wake up to who they are, neither wake up to what's in them. So here you are empowering people to wake to the awakening of what's in them. When you will ever wake up to what's in you, when you wake up to greatness that is in you, there's always somebody's going to be mad because you reveal their weakness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what has happened today? You awaken the sleep that is in us. And when we wake up, we recognize the weakness in them. So you can do one of things. You can do one of two things. You can either let us go back to sleep and allow them to continue in their weakness, or you can continue to wake us all up so that we can recognize their weakness. And so we can prevail and walk in triumph and in dominion. That's how I feel about it.
The way I feel about it is I'm a walking church. I'm a walking temple. And how are you going to tell me that I have to stop church on here? That means I can't be on this land, because Acts 7:48 says the Most High does not dwell in temples that are made with hands. And 1 Corinthians 6:19 said, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost that dwells in you? So how are you going to tell me to stop church when I am the church? And I got to be on this land. You telling me that I can't be on this land? Because the church is on this land. Every time I put my black foot down on this black ground, the church, every time I open my mouth, the church is opening this mouth. Every time I take a breath of this air with these trees, the church is, we're having church with the trees, with the ground. So you're telling me, in essence, that I cannot exist on this land where my ancestors bled on this historic land to make the very folk rich that are trying. They got millions of dollars. They can't even, their children's children cannot even spend all of the money that our ancestors left for them. And they don't want a black Negro like me, a nigger, because I'm a nigger, I'm a king, I'm a god.
Yes.
Acts 13:1. They don't want a nigger around here telling the truth. But I'm going to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me, Kali Zafnat Pa'anir El. Now, let me tell you what I want to talk about tonight. I want to go back to the 17th chapter of Matthew, and I don't have time to go there. I'm just going to kind of give you the story tonight, and I'm going to close this thing out. Bishop from Shreveport, say something, man, before I get out of breath. Say something, your mic is open. Talk to me.
Oh, you good, Bishop. You good. We're going to be all right. You know, this ain't the first time they came at us. This is about the third, fourth time. They just brought the papers and the police this time, but we got the pause in. Don't worry about it.
All right. Now, if I fall, I want you brothers to keep it up, but I ain't looking to fall. I'm on the top, and I'm looking to go higher. I'm out front, and I'm looking to speed up. So here's what we're going to do. 17th chapter of Matthew, Jesus takes these three fellows that did not exist, Peter, James, and John. First of all, there's no James and there's no John because there's no J. He takes them up into a high mountain. This is an allegory story to tell you a principle that I want you to see tonight. And so I don't have time to go through to try to prove to you that it's an allegory story. We told you last week that Jesus said a lot of things that cannot be reconciled, that proper tension cannot be brought between certain statements that he made. There's no way to reconcile them. Tells you to love your enemy, but hate your mama and your daddy. He tells you everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But he says not everyone that calls shall be saved. He says that, you know, he's got all power, but then he says, I can do nothing. How can someone with all power do nothing? I mean, I don't know. He tells you in one place to put up your sword, then he tells you to go buy one if you don't have one. But the point is the principle behind the seemingly hyper-conundrum or the oxymoron or the contradiction is that life is about choices. That is why those contradictions are there in the Bible, to let you know that you have to make choices in life. You have to make choices in life. And so they are really not contradictory, but they are placed there also that you will know that what you are looking at is not real history. It's not literal. Do not take it literal. If it were literal, there's no way for anyone to make those kind of contradictions that are irreconcilable, that cannot be brought together in any forms of disciplines of logic. Now, here's what I want you to understand. In this story, Jesus goes up into a high mountain, and he knocks out the theory of heaven and hell, because he goes up, he's transformed, his face is shining like the sun. The sun in this dimension has 7 rays of light in it: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. There are 5 colors above this sphere that we can't see. And there are 12 altogether, the 12 rays of Horus. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that if I get a chance, but I don't want to give you too much information. But so he goes into this mountain, and he's radiating the violet flame, the highest flame, the short wave, the violet flame. It is the short wave. It is the most powerful ray in the sun, the violet flame or the violet color. It's vibrating at a higher frequency. And so, since he's vibrating at this higher frequency, 2 people show up, Moses and Elijah. These people have been gone for millennia. They've been gone for thousands of years. But somehow or another, they come back through the epochs of time, through the annals of history, through the narrow circumscriptions of time and through the mystical veil of eternity. And from the other dimension, they come back into this dimension, and they're standing there talking. And so as they're talking, getting to the end of the story, his disciples, Peter, James, and John, say to him, we thought Elijah would come first. He said, well, he did come first, but they didn't know who he was. And they killed him. They cut his head off. And the Bible says, then his disciples understood that he meant John the Baptist, meaning that Elijah had been here once, but he came back as John the Baptist. Get that, people. Understand what you're listening to, that life is on a continuum. Do not be afraid of death. You will come back. That is the principle behind that. You will come back. This whole notion about heaven and hell, we don't have time to get into the logistical lay of it and when it came out in the 14th century and how the Romans invented this as a fear tactic to bring you under control. But I just want to tell you that you are an infinite being. If you die now, you will come back. And that's what I want to get to tonight, because we were going to talk about that in this event. And I will get to something very important. I wasn't going to share this. I was going to charge money for this. But I'm led now, since they did this, to give it for free. So Jesus turns into this violent flame. Violet. Violet. Not violent. Violet. Some people I used to talk to say violet. I said, you don't know what you're talking about. It's not violet flame. It's the violet. It's the color. It's not anger. It's not violet. Now listen to me. They came back. The violet flame will allow you to make contact with the other world. If you envision the violet flame, you can make contact with the other world. Don't be afraid. I'm not trying to spook you. Trying to give you a pressure. If you envision, close your eyes, go within, close the 2 eyes so that the 1 eye opens and see the violet flame, you can make contact with the other world. And it's important for you to be able to do that, because God is in the other world, correct? is within. And I got some. I got someone making some noise here. Got a little noise pollution. Okay, watch yourself. Now, this text proves that the violet flame opens the portal for you to do interdimensional and intergalactic extra-universal travel to other dimensions. So if you want to do those travels, wrap yourselves in the violet flame, and you can make contact and receive answers. You can receive answers for your dilemmas, for your problems, since you know that you are an eternal being. Now, here's what I want to get to, and I'm almost done. If we follow the story of Jesus, we follow him going to Calvary. He's killed. He's brutally massacred. And the Bible says that he stays in the grave, or he's taken off the cross and placed in the grave. And he stays there in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. He stays in the earth 3 days and three nights. I want you to get that. I want that to settle into your mind. Because if Jesus is in you, and he went into the heart of the earth and he stayed there 3 days and three nights, the earth is very, very important. Earthing is very, very important. Now, I'm going to tell you what I was going to do in this event. I was going to build a canopy, Frank and I, and we were going to put it on the ground, and we were going to have people to earth for 3 hours every day for 3 days and three nights to earth. Now, the Africans had a tradition in Africa. It wasn't because they were savages. It wasn't because they were not intellectual. They were not literate. They invented writing. The Africans invented writing. But they didn't wear any clothes, people. Think about it. Why didn't the Africans wear clothes? Why did they allow the planetary and earth energies to be absorbed in their skin? Because that was their power. So when the Christ is crucified naked, he's stripped of his robe. The soldiers shot dice for his garment on the cross. They gambled for his seamless robe. Now, that's a story. But the point is, he went into the tomb, wrapped into special burial cloths after having been anointed with special oils. Excuse me. So during this preparation period, this time, in this event, what I was going to do is to teach you and to show you how to follow Jesus into the earth for 3 days and three nights. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
so that
sir.
When you spend 3 days and three nights according to certain principles and disciplines, when those 3 days and three nights are over, the Jesus in you will resurrect. And what did he say when he resurrected? Don't try to guess. I'm going to tell you. Well, I'll let one of these preachers tell you. I'll let one of these preachers tell you what he said. I'll rest for a moment and see if I'm making sense to my preachers. I want them, your mic is still open, preachers. What did he say when he spent 3 days and three nights in the grave? What did he say when he got up?
Said all
he said,
foul.
I thought something. What did he say? Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. You're right.
He said all power is given to me.
Both he said all power in heaven
and earth.
And earth.
Yeah.
Is given to me. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Why? Because he spent 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus is in you. If you subject yourselves to the Jesus in you under the right conditions, stripped of the artificial consciousness and culture of your clothes. I'm not telling you to get naked in front of people, but allow your entire body to be exposed to the magnetisms of the earth and the planetary cosmic energies of the heavens. You will absorb those cosmic electric energies and the earth's magnetism. This is what sets the Africans apart as great architects, great builders. It was not a matter of savagery or barbarism that they went naked. They were one with nature. They allowed nature to be absorbed through their skin into their bodies, and they went through rituals. I'm giving you a ritual now. One of the things that the Romans did was came along and made us literalize the story of Jesus. Let me read it to you, and I'm finished. I want these preachers to talk, and I want you to tear me apart. Just tell me I'm lying. Tell me what I'm saying is not true. I can take it. Trust me, I can take it. I've had bigger insults, so insult me tonight. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm lying. It says right here, wherefore he says, he ascended up on high. He led captivity and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, listen to this. My eyesight is messing up on me. It says, now he that ascended, went up. That's a word church folk don't like, ascension. If you're following Jesus, you got to ascend. And that's what we're talking about, ascension. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? So if you are told to follow Jesus, if you are going to ascend, first you must descend into the lower parts of the earth. Principle, check. Somebody say yes. Check. You've got to follow him. Not the literal Jesus, but the Jesus in you, you have to subject to the typology that you see in the Bible. Get in the heart of the earth. Here I was going to dig a hole and put Frank in it for 3 hours, from the sixth to the ninth hour, for 3 days, so that when he follows Jesus into the heart of the earth, after 3 days, his body will be infused with the powerful magnetisms and pulses of the earth, and Schumann's resonance or Schumann's pulse to earth is vibrating, would have been vibrating through his entire body. His body would have been prepared to receive the cosmic energies that are coming in now that we haven't experienced for the last 20,000 years. I'm giving a great secret away. But if you take the gospel story literally, you're going to miss the principle. Nobody is going to do or be your savior for you. There was no substitute. Listen, the vicarious substitutionary death of Jesus, what is a substitute? Where the hell is the real? What the hell is the real savior? If I got a substitute savior. If I've got substitute sugar, Frank, that's not real sugar. I don't want substitute butter. I want the real thing. So if I've got a substitute savior, what the hell is the real savior? The original is in me. So I still will teach you if you come here against the church. I will show you. If you come to Greenville, Mississippi, I will show you how to do this. It has been given to me. I am Zaphnat Paaneah, El. I am the revealer of secrets. I will show you how to get in the heart of the earth so that you too can resurrect the Jesus, and the power will emanate with you, and you, like Jesus, can say, all power is given unto me. It's flowing in me. It's resonating in me. It's harmonizing in me. I am one with all of the powers of the earth, with the stars, the moon, the planets, the asteroids. All of the powers in heaven are in me. That is the story, people. There's no power at a table with some crackers or in a pool with some water in it, because you can go down a dry devil and come up a witch.
Amen.
There's no power sitting in a table breaking a piece of cracker, that saltine crackers, who those people that make Nabisco, spade and drinking some Welch's grape juice and saying a few words over it, there's no power in that, people. But I dare you to get in the heart of the herd. I dare you. My computer's going off. Whatever.
All right, I'm back. If you do this, if you come here, we will do this even with the code inspector and the city council and the evil-ass neighbors and the hateful-ass people that are trying to hold people down. We will still do this right here, and they can't stop us. They can't stop us. They can't, and Frank said he'll dig the hole. And we'll show you how to get in the heart of the earth. And we'll show you how to earth in such a way that the earth's power will cause a magnetism in you that will cause you to harmonize with the coming, incoming energies, the solar flares, and the energies from Orion and Pleiades. And you will be a changed being. I guarantee you, your health will improve. Your mind will improve. This is what they didn't want me to tell you, people. They didn't want me to tell you how to activate your DNA. They didn't want me to show you the five plutonic solids, what we were going to talk about, and I'm breaking it down a little bit now, tell you how to activate your DNA so that you can be powerful, so that you can overcome sickness. You can get that crazy, I almost said the word, skubalon. Yes, Greek word for dumb. Skubalon. You can get that crazy skubalon out of your mind. I'm stopping talking now. Preachers, y'all talk to me. I talked enough. I'm putting myself on mute. Y'all take it over.
When one talks about the 3 days and three nights, one must listen to the statements of Christ. The first thing that Christ says to us, that he says before this crucifixion, he says that no man taketh my life, but I lay it down. What that within itself is ought to be revelation, that the authority, the power, the being, the that is within you, that it says to us, that it says to me, that the authority we have recognized that we will not be subject to, we will not have an oppressor. No one control me because I lay down my own life. And then he says, if I lay it down, he give us this authority again. He said, I take it up again. So therefore, what is within me that I can have an ability?
Talk with your talk. If I lay it down, I can do what? Talk with you.
Take it up. Okay, that's all I want to say. And so it is if I walk in his likeness, or I walk in the revelation of the ability, then there must be something in me that it removes me from giving my oppressor any identity, any capability of oppressing me, because he can't take nothing from me because it belongs to me, and I have the last say so on what I do with it. That's all I would say.
We got a lot of time, Steve. We got a lot of time, man. We got a lot of time.
It starts with your thought processing. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So it starts with your thought processing. If you're going to be who you're supposed to be, you've got to think your way through it. You have to think for yourself. Stop allowing people to think for you and dictate to you who you're not. That's all I got to say.
Wow. I got some people leaving the call. One person maybe they'll come back. What you got to say about it, Ro? What do you have to say about it? Did he leave? No, he's still there. 318-218, I'm opening your mic. 318-218. My brother, come on. 318-218. My brother from Louisiana, your mic is open. Are you there? 318-218. Okay.
Bishop.
Yeah.
Bishop, this is your son, Rahul from Shreveport,
hey,
Louisiana.
Rahul. Come on, man.
And if we take this literally, according to seminary teaching, then there's a sense of us always still being in the grave. Because for 300 out of 365 days, for 52 Sundays a year, every Sunday we are preaching he died. But only on Sunday, one Sunday a year, do we emphasize the resurrection. So I see basically the reason why we are many times spiritually and physically and even as far as expanding our knowledge is because we're still in the grave. But when will that Easter appear to us? When we arrive from the dead? That's all I got to say, Pastor.
My son, thank you. Excellent. I won't speak to that. I'm a little tired because of the ordeal that I've gone through, but I feel pretty good. 318-470, your mic is open. Talk to me. You're in my home state. 318-470. Your mic is open.
This is Raheem's son. I was just Raul's son, and I was just listening. You know,
okay, now you're my grandson. Then you're my grandson. I want you all to get this clear. I want you to get this clear. That the resurrection and the Passover are concerned, and they have to do with cosmic events. You listen to me, tell you, meet up. They have to do with cosmic events. When the sun passes over the equator, certain energies now are coming into the planet, and certain energies are now coming into the earth and coming into you. That must be regulated according to an order of service that takes place in your temple. As above, so below. What is happening in the cosmos, the sun in its precession, as it moves in its ecliptic, is the same process that must be concurrently happening in you. So now is the season. We're a few days away from Pentecost, the fire. Don't think that that is historical. It happens in you. The feast of Pentecost is a bodily order of service that happens in your body. It is a time when the fires in your body, as it says in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now, it's 50 days after crucifixion, so 50 days after March 21st, when the sun passes over the equator, is a time when the fire comes from heaven. These feasts are based upon cosmic occurrences. Passover is based upon cosmic occurrences. It is a clock and a calendar for what? For what happens in the cosmos and what happens in you. Get it? This is the order of service that the Bible talks about in Romans chapter 12, make your body a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. So as the sun moves through its ecliptic, passing through, and the changes are happening in the cosmos, bringing changes on the earth, so are changes happening in you. So 50 days after the Passover, after we go into the vernal or spring equinox, is the time when the fire will fall upon you. It's not historic. Don't believe it's historic. It's not historic. It's a process. And it happens every year. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind and filled the house, what house, where they were sitting, and there appeared to them cloven tongues like of fire, and it sat on each of them. This energy that is coming in from the cosmos will set in upon you. 50 days after March 21st, when the sun passes over the equator, is Pentecost. Pentecost. And I could get deeper into that, but I don't want to get too deep into it tonight because I've gotten a little emotional. And I don't like getting emotional, and I have to bring myself back. But what color is the flame? Let me read it to you again. It says, and there were tongues of fire that said, what color was the fire? Wow. Something for you to think about. This people don't take it literally. It is something that's happening in you. It is something that's happening in the cosmos, coming from the heaven to the earth, to you, to the house. What house? Your house. Your body is a temple. It is the house of God. As above, so below. I still got 10 minutes and I'm not out of things to say. But I don't want to give too many principles because I could have gone to the 12 gates in Revelation chapter 12, Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 12. But I'll give you too much information tonight. And if there are no questions or no comments about these principles of the violet flame, following Jesus into the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights so that you can have a resurrection of the Jesus in you, the seed that's in you, understanding that the principles of the feast of Passover and first fruit resurrection took place 3 days after crucifixion, 3 days you can have a resurrection. And it takes to getting to Pentecost, as the sun moves and it's ecliptic, and the energy, it moves into a different position in front of a different body of stars, understanding the order of service in your temple. The order of service is not at some church, not at some building, not at 137 Bayou Road, at this yellow building that we have. It is you. It happens in you. I'm bringing to your conscious awareness that there's a process that you need to observe and become conscious that is consistent, that must be harmonized, and it must be synchronized in synchronicity with the cosmos. You and the creation must work in harmony. After the feast of Pentecost comes the feast of Rosh Hashanah in September, Feast of Trumpets. And that is symbolic again of something that happens in you. After that comes the Feast of Atonement. And after that comes the Feast of Ingathering or Harvest or the Feast of Tabernacles. All pointing to a clock that must be awakened and observed in you. Your pineal gland is your calendar, your clock, and your compass. And it will be regulated by these feasts. There were seven feasts in the Bible. Seven. So I'm finishing up with that. If you don't have any comments, I'm going to close. You can come into the queue. You can ask the Zeph what you may. Press star 6. You can come in. You can insult me. I'm not thin skinned. Come in. Press star 6. Talk to me. Holler back at Brother Zeph. Talk to me. Star 6. Press 1.
It's your turn. Q and O.
Q&A session started.
There we go. Now you can press Star 6. Let's talk about these principles, people, so that you can be resurrected. You can resurrect Christ in you, and you can say, all power. That's why they don't have any power. They talk about power, and I talked about power in the church, but I was led, I was distracted into the wrong body of information, taking the story literally. And I had the same people all the time coming back with the same sicknesses, and I kept laying hands on them and messing up their clothes, pouring oil on their heads, and they still kept getting the same sickness because they didn't understand how energy works in the body and how this energy must be in harmony with the earth and with the cosmos. And it's right there in your face. But it's hidden right in plain sight. But we were given the wrong codex.
A person, I'm very intrigued by what you talked to us about tonight, about submerging yourself into the earth from, did you say the sixth hour to the ninth hour? For 3 days in a row. Isn't that the same amount of time that when it's the specific time the moon is in your sign that you do, but the seed is in sign that you're trying to raise up to the pineal gland of the 33? That's
vertebrae. You have 33 vertebrae. Jesus lived 33 years. It's all symbolic, which is real. The 33 vertebrae in your back are the 33 years that he lived. Which one can you prove?
My vertebrae in my back.
Can you prove that he lived 33 years?
No.
Give me some proof.
I can't.
You can't.
I can't.
But can you prove you have 33 vertebrae?
Yes.
Can you get an x-ray?
Yes.
And count them?
Yes.
Okay. So that is the 33 steps. In the Masonic order, 33 degrees.
I thought so.
Yes.
So if we were to do this, for lack of a better term, ritual of being in the earth for those 3 days, at the same time that our sign is in the moon, the moon is in our sign, that would make it even more intense as far as becoming Christ-like.
Well, if you're listening to what I say, it has to be consistent with the peace. The feasts, they are the clock and the calendar. So the feast of Passover has passed, okay? But nevertheless, what we will do is show you that during this time, and the feast of first fruit, which is resurrection, is when you said all power. That has passed. But still, to understand that you must be in harmony with these feasts, with your internal clock, your inner clock, because the cosmic clock and the earth's clock is in harmony with it. You were taught to get out of harmony with this clock. So you're out of step, you're out of time with it. Now, as far as the seed is concerned, the seed, according to 1 John 3:9, is never to leave your body. In orgasmic or orgasm expression or the ejaculation expression, you are never to release that seed. So the seed stays in you. There's only one way to release the seed, and that's through orgasm or through ejaculation. The seed has the potential. That is the Jesus. That is the noon. That is the fish. That is the fish that must never leave your body. That's why the sign of Jesus was a fish. It must never leave your body. That is the forbidden fruit of the tree of knowledge. That is to never leave your body. Well, how can I have sex and not enjoy the orgasm? Man, that ain't no fun. I don't know how I'm going to do that. Well, there's an energy explosion that is internal. And this was going to be part of our teachings, to show you how to do this. Well, I can't show you. Well, I can tell you. I won't show you. I'll tell you. You have to show yourself. Why are you laughing at me, Sister Hill? Why are you laughing? Did I say something funny? You got got Earl laughing. Earl, what are you laughing at? He said, I don't know. He said, it seems like everybody's laughing, so he just laughed too. So these feasts, if you get you a good Bible and go look at the Feast of Israel, where they are positioned. Matter of fact, I'll see if I can't find it. Put it back up on Facebook. Those of you who follow me on Facebook, you will see that these feasts correspond to certain times, and they are clocks and calendars that tells you what your body should be doing at certain times. It tells you the order of service of your body, because that's the way it is. Why are you looking at me like that? You got your eyes.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how this. Where I was thinking I could believe that. But how do we bring ourselves back into
the
seven days?
We start those seven feasts. The seven feasts correspond to the seven rays that are in the suns, or the seven chakras. Each feast is tied into a chakra. You got it? Okay. So each feast is tied into a chakra. Each feast has a color designated to it. And you can do this through meditation. When you see those colors vibrate at a certain frequency. Okay? So this is how we do this. And there's those feasts are clocks that tell your body what it needs to be doing, when it needs to be doing it. But if you don't know what those feasts are, Frank almost cussed on the line tonight, though. I think I'm off the air. Am I off the air? Let's see. Have one more minute. All right, people, it's been fun. It's been a blast. Hopefully you got the violent flame. Hopefully you follow Jesus into the grave. Hopefully you spend 3 days and three nights. Hopefully you let the cosmic energies, planetary energies, be absorbed through your skin. Find a way to get out of your clothes and allow cosmic energies to be absorbed into you at the right time, at the right moment.